Okay, today I want to finish off some of the things that we left hanging yesterday. Yesterday we spoke about Nittel. Nittelnacht.
Speaking of hanging. Speaking of hanging.
Speaking of hanging, Nittel. Okay, so we discussed the meaning of Nittel. We gave a little drush. I want to tell you two stories. I didn't have a chance to tell you about Nittelnacht. First story is with a beautiful story with Rav Yoina's son, Eibeschitz. We spend much time here learning about Minhagim. So the story goes that there was once a koimer, a priest, that was mocking Rav Yoina's son, Eibeschitz, and he said, I know among you, on the night of the non-Jewish holiday, the Jews don't learn Torah. Because... probably because he knew the Minhagim. So I know what goes on. I know you don't learn Torah. Whatever the reason is, I know about this thing called Nittelnacht. Okay, I know about it. But you're hypocrites, he said to him, because you teach that in the most important thing in the Jewish religion is to study Torah. And if there's a point in time when no one is studying Torah, they're midrashim, we don't really know what this means, the world will cease to exist. How could it be? How could there be such a thing, no matter how bad the situation is, no matter what's taking place, where there's a law, there's a takana, there's a custom, a Jewish custom, not to learn Torah? Goes against everything that you preach. Now, it's not shakasha, because there's a sakonis nefashis, chamir sakonis, we discussed yesterday, the pogroms. The repashin, of course, you have no choice, it has to be like that. But not all the time was there such a great danger. So why is there such a custom? So Rav Yonasan Irish said to him, if the custom is not to learn, for whatever the reason is, Ninhog Yisrael Torah. That is Limud HaTorah. That's the koach of a minhog. We always discuss, a minhog is even more powerful than a din. If this is what the Jewish minhog is, Zegufa, this is a moment of Torah. Observing the minhog is the greatest fulfillment of establishing and preserving the Torah of Klal Yisrael. I tell the story very, very often. I'm very fond of this story from Yishol Salanter. Yishol Salanter was once davening shul, either it was Pesach or Sukkis, and it was Geshem or Tal, whichever one it was, and it came time for Musaf, and there was no kittel. And we all know the minig is that the Shliach Tzir puts on a kittel for Musaf, for Geshem and Tal. There was no kittel. So they told Avshol Salanta, there's no kittel, so we'll just shatz, we'll daven without a kittel. So he says, can someone go get a kittel? You know, we'll wait a few minutes. So it's the end, we can get a kittel, but it'll take about over an hour. We'll have to wait over an hour to get the kittel. Have to go and come back. So he said, it's kedai, we'll wait. We're not going to start until we have the kittel. Can you imagine, over an hour? He says, because today, what do we have today? We don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we're in Golus. All we really have today as Jews are minhagim, our customs. And the Jewish custom is so sacred, it's kedai to wait an hour to be mekayim the minhag that the shat should wear the kittel for Tal and Geshem. Unbelievable. And that's really what Rav Yonasan Eibeschitz says. If this is the minhag, it's sacred. It's sacred and it's not something that we're concerned about. There's another very interesting story with the Marsha. It's a famous story with the Marsha. Marsha lived during a very difficult time of pogroms and shmad, and they didn't learn. They did not learn Torah the night. It was his custom, his community, not to learn Torah the night of their holiday because of the sakana. And there was a koimer, there was a priest in the neighborhood, and the Jews were in hiding, it appears. And he told the government officials that the Jews, he made a billboard, the Jews detest Yashka and the church. They won't study Torah at night. They were using the meaning of Nittel. The guy were getting sophisticated as a way to cause tsar. If it's one thing, you don't want to come to church, you don't want to practice our religion, but you're mocking us and you're doing things privately during the time when we are in church because you're of the opinion that by learning Torah you're going to give his neshama power, whatever it was. So it was a very great sakana. And the Marshal did not even know about this, that they were plotting against the Jews. And the government, whoever was in charge of the church, whoever had a lot of influence in the government, they wanted to make a spot inspection of the Marshal, of the Rav, of the town, to see if the Rav is learning Torah the night of the holiday. And if he was not learning, then they know that this bilbul was true, and that would be a cause of be a very big problem for the Jewish people. So normally, you know, you don't learn, so it shouldn't be a problem. Here, by not learning, it was just the opposite. So the Marshal was not learning, as the minig was. The minig was not learning Torah. And all of a sudden, a very bizarre thing happened. A sefer fell off the shelf. So he went, he picked it up and put it back on. It's a famous story. It's a documented story. And then it happened again, and again, and the story goes, he felt that in Hashemayim, they want him to learn. Because if the Svarim are falling off the shelf and he's not learning, so he stood by the bookcase, he picked up the Sefer, and he opened up the Sefer and began to glance through the Sefer, a few lines of the Sefer. At that exact moment when he was opening up the Sefer to look in the Sefer, they got a knock on it, they broke down the door to go see what was doing, and they stood the Marshal standing there with the Sefer open in his hands. He was learning Torah. So they were spared, they got lucky that time. So I told this to someone, I said, someone, now I fully appreciate what Rav Pam used to say. Rav Pam, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, used to give this drasha often, that if a Sefer falls on the floor, what do? You kiss it. But that's not the Ikar Minhag. If you have traced back the source of Minhagim, there are two things. There is, you can kiss it, or it's better than kissing is you learn. You open up, it fell on the floor, you don't kiss it. What are you going to kiss it? It needs a kiss. You open it up, and you learn a few lines. That is, which it used to say, what is a much more appropriate, a much more about Kavadik Apius, a way to be misaking the zilzal that has happened to a sefer when it falls on the floor? Is it to kiss it, or is it to open it up and learn from it? So of course, opening up and learning from it, a few words, is a much greater, is a much more about Kavadik a thing to do for the sefer than kissing the sefer. So I told this person who told me this story, I said, maybe that's what the Marshal was really doing. He told me the story that the Marshal, he opened up the sefer because he was siyatim, and he felt that in Hashemayim they were trying to give him some message he should learn. That wasn't what he was doing. The real minhag is that if a sefer falls on the floor, you don't kiss it, you open it up and you learn from it. So maybe he was practicing the original minhag, even though he was little, you don't learn, but when it comes to the design of a sefer lying on the floor, it's no big deal to open up the sefer to learn a few lines, and that somehow spared him from this terrible pogrom that was coming upon the Jewish people. Now, I want to go into something very quickly, so a few interesting inyanim about the Christians. We mentioned yesterday that one of the Ramban writes about this, I discovered the Rishonim Ramban, is the Zeyof HaTorah. One of the... What the Christians did to a much greater degree than any of their predecessors is they tried to be mezayif, to forge the Torah Shebaal Peh. Now, they're not the first, because they have the Tzedokim and the Baitosim. The Tzedokim and the Baitosim, they did not believe in the Torah Shebaal Peh. But it appears that the Baitosim, they didn't try to be mezayif the Torah Shebaal Peh. You have your approach to the Torah Shebaal Peh. We have a different approach. We take things literally. It wasn't that they actually tried to forge the existing Torah Shebaal Peh and reinterpret everything according to their belief, their religion, their invented religion. The Christians excelled at this. And this, of course, came at the same time when Torah Shebaal Peh first became available to them. Because until the time of the Christians, until the time of the end of the Bayis Sheni, nothing of Torah Shebaal Peh was ever put in writing. Everything was all al-peh. Mipel Peh from one generation to the next generation. So the only ones that knew the Torah Shebaal Peh were the two practitioners of Torah Shebaal Peh. The Baitosim and the Tzedokim, okay, they knew about it, but they didn't have material to be mezayif because nothing was in writing. It came the time of the end of the Bayis Sheni. It's exactly the same period of time that the Christians developed their religion, and this coincided with the time when Torah Shebaal Peh was first put in writing. And part of the development of their religion was to take, at that same time it was put in writing, and to be mezayif the Torah Shebaal Peh. This is what we discussed, to forge, to counterfeit. to counterfeit, to forge it, to rewrite what it says in the Torah. This,
the right,
you're right, old version, or to make up lies and make changes. To make changes in what it says in the Torah, revisions in the Torah Shabbal Peh. Torah Shabbal Peh, they kept. The Old Testament was kept. New Testament is a new thing. What?
Falsify.
When were the new edition, the second, the New Testament, when was that written? Does anyone know?
It evolved
much later.
It was not until at least 50 years after, and we have the Gospel according to Matthew, and they disagree with each other about events.
Okay, but their focus was on Torah Shebaal Peh. They didn't tamper that much, at least originally, with the Torah Shebaal Peh. What?
They changed the Shabbos.
That's a later thing. That was a later development. You're right. But that's because they rejected the need to be kind of the mitzvahs. But they still, that's a separate discussion. But they focused on the zayuf, the falsification of the Torah Shebaal Peh, and they laid a heavy hand on our Sfarim, on Talmud, and the censors. And they made many changes. I want to focus now, I just wanted to run by you some of the changes that were made to the Nusach HaTfila. Some examples. Now, one example, the most famous example, is the V'lam al-Shinim. V'lam al-Shinim was written, according to some opinions, was written directly against the early Christians. And in fact, the original Nusach was V'lam u'Shumadim. I don't have here, the Siddur Vilna has the exact, very authentic and very old version of the Nusach. And in fact, there are many people that do say it privately. No one today would say the V'lam Shumadim publicly when they say the Daven for the Amud, Chazar Sashatz, but there are many people that do say, instead of saying V'lam Al-Shim, the way that we have it in our Sidurim, they have the original version of V'lam Shumadim, and even some versions that actually say the Hanotzrim. Hanotzrim V'haminim, and that is one of the main changes that they have made, the Christians, and that has stuck with us ad hayom hazed, has never been corrected. Yeah? B'chol haminim. So min, what is a min? Min is mit, min stands for mitalmide yeshu notzri. That's what a min.
Early Christians.
Mitalmide, that's why in the Talmud, every time it said the word min, they change it to a tzoki or an apikoris. They had no problem with the tzokim, they had no problem with apikoris. Some people went off the derech. Apikoris means you just left the fold, and you went off the derech. But that's not what we're referring to. When the Chazal wrote the Talmud, they were dealing with the early Christians. They wrote a min, mitalmidei yeshu hanotzri. Yeshu stands for Yemach Shemo v'zichro. What else does Yeshu stand? Why his name was really Yeshua? It was a very popular Jewish name, of those short for Yehoshua. Some reason the Hay didn't have the Hay, maybe because of Shem Hashem, Yudkei, they didn't want to include the Hay, but it was a very popular Jewish name, Yeshua. Why do Chazal, and according to many, that's how it was his real name. Yet Chazal did not, they always left off the Ayin. Why did they leave off the Ayin? So either it's a derogatory way of referring to him, because you take away part of his name, a person's name, his name captures his essence. When you leave out a letter of his name, it's the greatest insult. You're not even worthy that we should mention your full name. And some said they took off the Ayin because he couldn't even save himself. Atzmai. If he's such a Mashiach, why couldn't he at least save himself? He couldn't save even Atzmai, so they mocked him by leaving off in all of the Talmudic literature the Ayin from the word Yeshu. Mr. Musa, what?
They don't even want
to say his name. Right? I don't want to say his name. Noitzri, okay, they want to say, okay, well, these. Okay, but that I think is one of the most significant things everyone knows about the bracha of V'lam al-Shinim, the way that we have it now. Assume it's not the original version. The original version is V'lam al-Shumadim. I wanted to copy the version, I just forgot to do so this morning, but I don't think I have a Siddur Vilna. Siddur Vilna, not everyone. Siddur Vilna is probably an amazing Siddur. Everyone see the Siddur Vilna? It's just out of this world. Problem is, publishers of the Siddur Vilna. That's why, unfortunately, we don't use it. I'll explain to you privately what the problem is later. But it's an incredible Siddur. Okay, now let me tell you something which is amazing. Not everyone knows this. So someone showed this to me in the Baruch Shama. Baruch Shamar is an amazing sefer. It's Baruch Epstein, the one who wrote the Torah Tamima. Everyone knows about the Torah Tamima. And he also wrote this amazing set of sermons called Tosefes Baracha on Chumash, on Chamisha Chumashe Torah, Drush, and language. He's very into the language of the Torah. It's an incredible sefer. He was a rav here in Flatbush, on Ocean, I think on Ocean. There's a very big shul on Ocean Parkway, towards the lower avenues. He was to be the Jewish center. He used to be, for a period of time, he was the rav of that shul. The Torah Tamima. What?
It was a conservative shul always.
There was an Orthodox meeting in the basement. In the basement, it's a conservative shul upstairs, and in the basement, there was an Orthodox minyan. And he was the rav of that Orthodox minyan. It's once had on Tisha B'Av, they have the Tisha B'Av program. So for a number of years, they had the Tisha B'Av program there. So the shul upstairs was not big enough. So they had a video hookup downstairs. And that part downstairs, I used to go downstairs to the video hookup, and that part, that's where he was the rav. The Torah Tamima was the rav in that little room. That's a shul room. It's a nice sized room. That's where he was the rav of the Orthodox minyan. He was here in America for a short period of time. And his brilliant Torah Tamima. Doesn't need my haskama, that's for sure. And he also wrote a not so well known sefer called the Baruch Shamar. It's a parish on tefillah. Incredible, incredible thing. So he has there some mind boggling things. And he says that he found in an old sinner, in a very old sinner, never seen this before, that in the bracha, Tekah b'shofar, a different nusach. Yes, what is it? Tekah b'shofar. Gadol Chayusein, that's the wrong. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Ready? Hashiva Shefteinu. In the bracha of Din, Hashiva Shefteinu Kivarishana, restore our judges. V'yatzenu Kivatchilu, V'yaser Mimenu, and remove from us Yogon Va'anacha. So yes, what in the world does Yogon Va'anacha, sorrow and anguish, have to do with our request to return our Shefteinu? Well, our Shefteinu refers to the time of the Beis Hamikdash. We had Shefteinu. So you tell me, if a person doesn't have a din, person has a din Torah, he feels that he's been wronged. He comes to explain that's really what it means. A person feels that he has not received proper judgment. He lives a whole life, yagon v'anacha. If you have a shayfet, there's din, there's mishpat, everything is a-okay. But it's still something doesn't sit well with these two expressions, yagon v'anacha. So he says that he found in a very old manuscript, an old siddur from going back hundreds of years, where the nusach was v'hoser mimenu, malchus yavon v'romi. Unbelievable. Instead of yagon v'anacha, may Hashem remove from us the malchus of yavon, Greece, and Rome. Hafle v'fela. And it makes sense. He says, then it makes sense, because who are our shayftim today? Our shayftim are who judges. We go to civil court. You go to Gresha court. We go to the Romans and we go to the Greeks. May Hashem remove and may Hashem restore our shayftenu and our yoyatzenu, not the malchus of Rome, Yavon, the Romi. He says Rome. It's unbelievable. Yavon the Romi. And obviously the censors laid a heavy hand on the Nusach HaTzila and changed it from this, what he says, from Yavon and Romi to Yogon Va'anacha, and that has stuck to the point where you won't find this anywhere. You will not find this Shinui, even in the city of Vilna, they don't make any mention of this idea, but it's there in the Baruch Shamar. Very interesting thing to be aware of. Okay, I'll give you another example, which is also not so common. In Brich Shmei, Brich Shmei is a beautiful tefillah. We're just talking about Brich Shmei. It's a beautiful tefillah. And some people don't like to say Brich Shmei because it's a Zohar. You take out the Sefer Torah, you ask for incredible siyata, the Shmaya, the Chashivas of Brich Shmei is awesome. Some people don't like to say Brich Shmei because it says here, V'lo al bar Elohin samichna, which means what? I don't rely on the son of Malach. So some don't like it because they don't, it refers to, what does it mean, bar Elohim? It means a malach. I don't rely on a malach. So some don't like any time that it says the Nusach HaTzilah, anything about malachim, they right away get turned off. Because we are not davening to angels. This was a very goyishah thing among the goyim, different tekuvos in the history of Klal Yisrael, where the goyim would always watch how we practice our religion and how they practice. And by goyim, it's a very big thing, angels. You pray to an angel, pray to the Holy Spirit, you pray to this, you pray to that, and somehow they're equal to God, or they're going to go to God on our behalf. This is foreign to Yadus. The Yadus, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. You go right to the source. You go to the Shbaruch Hu. You don't pray to angels, and that's why in the Slichos, Machnis Rachamim, there are different parts of Slichos which some people find objectionable. They don't want to say because it focuses too much on Malachim, and if you don't really know what it means, you can get misled, and this religion can turn into something Hashem like it's done by other religions. So when it says here, V'lo Arbar Elohim Smichon, I don't rely, only you Hashem I rely on. I'm not relying on the angels. Even to say that, it's just this.
No, we're saying that we don't do that.
Right, we're saying we don't do it. It's just something which is disturbing to people who are living in an environment. You have to remember, we're different week today. Everything is, you know, it's a whole different world today. But in the olden times, you're living in an environment where the next on one side, you have one church, another church, this church, that church, and they're all doing these strange things, all praying to angels, and it's disgusting that you, who are practicing the true religion, should have anything to do with these mishugayim. So, even to make mention the law al bar alam smichna is disturbing. So it became the meaning among some people not to say a brich shema because of this mention of malachim. However, what?
It has another implication.
However, some people get in different periods of history. They got even more carried away, and the Christian they would say that it refers to Yashka. That would not like the Christians, which the Zohar. It's not likely that's any kavana he meant. The law al bar Elohim, we don't rely on Yashka, the Son of God.
In the first Portuguese synagogue by Barbet School, he wrote in the Son of God, and that became a collector's item. The expeditions they changed it.
So this is something to keep in mind. It has not been changed. Okay, this is not something which has been changed, but it's something which, because of this problem, some people deleted. They took out the whole thing, the Brich Shmei, from the entire Nusach HaTzvilah. Okay, let me give you another example. They don't say the whole. They don't say the whole Brich Shmei. What? There are different. There are shuls. You have to go Eretz Yisrael. I don't know what. What?
Germans don't say it.
Germans don't say it. Yekis don't say it.
Yeah, they don't say anything Aramaic actually.
And Chaim Berlin. They don't finish it off. Uh-huh. The Shliach Tzibo, you'll never hear the Shliach Tzibo say the Sashla Meshan Dlibov Libacham Rishol. They're still not going to sing it. That goes without saying. But they never finish it off. So the assumption is they don't say it. So someone wants to ask the Rosh Hashiva, why don't we say Bruch Shmei? So he says, who says we don't? Who says we don't? And he says that. He says it because it takes a long time when the Shliach Tzibur goes up, when they have a stage. So it's a big deal to go up the stage to get the Sefer Torah, to take it down. It could take the amount of time that it takes to say very little Brich Shmei. You can do that. You can say, so instead of sitting around and doing nothing, so he says it. The Shliach Tzibur does not finish off the Sashla Mishan. It's not the minik. It would appear that if they didn't have a stage, they would just completely skip it. But being that it takes time, and you're anyway not doing anything, so I say it, and then the Rosh Hashiva says it. So obviously he holds that. Who says we don't say it? What? No, I think people say it. Some say it. Some look in a regular shul. They say it. Everyone, you look around. Everyone is saying it. People are busy looking at their email. They're looking at the Lama Shim. Okay, so that's a different thing. So that's another interesting thing. Now, probably the most famous of them all is Aleinu. Shehem Mishtachavim Lehevel Vorik Umispalim El Elo Yeshia. So Vorik is Bigmatria Yashka. It's the same. And therefore, that became a very popular thing not to say. And in some Siddurim today, it has been restored. Some in parentheses, some not, some do, some only say on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, some on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur do not say it. Okay, that's a very big thing because Varik is an allusion to, again, the same gematria as Yeshu. Some have the minhag even to spit. Some have the minhag to spit when they say Varik, what?
When I was a kid, I used to see it all the time.
And they would say Varik, and they would spit when they came to Yashka. In fact, it's recorded here in this sefer that they would kufus when the government would send police to the shuls to make sure they were not saying Shehem Mishtachavim Lohevel Vareku Mispalulim El El Lo Yeshia. We once had a whole share on this about the Aleinu. There are two parts to Aleinu. It goes back and forth between the Christians and the Muslims. It is though a little bit difficult because the tradition is that Yehoshua was the one who wrote Aleinu, and Yehoshua, according to all accounts, lived way before the Christians. So if he wrote Aleinu, he's not writing anything about Yashka. So obviously what it means then is that Yehoshua just wrote the bare bones of Aleinu. And over the generations it was embellished. And it came at some point in time where different expressions were included, and this expression, Shem Mishachim Lavarik, was included. Does that refer to Yashka? Maybe yes, maybe not. Maybe it's a coincidence that it's a gematria, and they got excited about it. Okay, this is all debated, but
there had to be something there, because I remember asking my Rebbe when I was a little kid why it says Banach, we should just say Anach.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's Och, yeah.
Possibly before Banach.
Uh-huh. Okay.
We bow down.
Okay, and we bow down. Vana. So maybe the vav was added later also.
Hey.
Yeah, so it's not really well known. Someone told me a while ago that he went to visit a very, very big Talmud Chacham, like a really holy person, and he was extremely disturbed that they started adding in where he davened Shehei Mishtachavim Lehevel Vrik on the Yamim Noraim. And this person, this was an old timer who lived before the war, he was a survivor. And he says, it can't be that my Zaydis, my ancestors, said it. It can't be, because I know, I grew up, we never said this, we never heard of this, that there was such an expression, Shehei Mishtachim Lehavarit. But, I mean, the facts are, it was said, definitely was said, and it was removed, and it slowly has come back. Okay. Another very popular example that's discussed at great length, a lot of debate, is in the... Do we have a Machzeh for Rosh Hashanah here? Or some, but in the Machzeh for Rosh Hashanah, there's a very elaborate Yehi Ratzon. There's an elaborate Yehi Ratzon, I don't know if I'll be able to find, before the Tekios. And we're mispalel that a Malach... Oh, don't worry about it, forget about it, don't worry, forget it, it's not... A Malach Yeshua should come to our assistance. So nowhere, thank you very much. Before the Tekios, thank you very much. Wait, another mask. Start. Okay, let's see if I can find it. Before the Tekios, okay, there is here a Malach, and the Malach, his name is, they take it out of here, the Siddur, Tzvilas HaTokea LaMatzeach. Okay, no, it's fine. It says the same thing. Okay, okay, I can't find it now. But in the Nusach, let me see if I
it's a long one.
Yeah. We Okay, there's a controversial Yehi Ratzon. And in the Yehi Ratzon, it says that Yeshua, the Malach Yeshua, the Malach, I can't find it, but the Malach Yeshua should come to our aid. Who in the world is the Malach Yeshua? We know about the Malach Gavriel, we know about Michael, Oriel, Raphael, where, Uziel, but where does it come, a Malach Yeshua? So someone would say that printers, they added a printer in disguise, a Christian infiltrated the Jewish printer shop and added this reference to Yashka. And somehow that got stuck in. Okay, another example of something which was censored, which is very interesting. There is probably hundreds of Perushim. Any doctors here?
Yeah.
Don't get insulted. Toiv, Dr. Friedman. Toiv Sheberoifen?
Leganim.
How come all the doctors know this? Now, there are probably hundreds.
Who said that?
It's in the Gemara. There are hundreds, I'm not exaggerating, of Perushim as to what exactly that means. And they all have a positive twist. Something good doesn't mean, it means this, doesn't mean anything bad. Hundreds of Perushim, Shakta Freedom God can tell us a whole number of them. So there is a Sefer which has discovered that in a very old, very rare manuscript, the original Girsa before the Christians got their hand on it was Toiv Sheberoifim Shebeakum. The best non-Jewish doctors go to Gehenna. But it doesn't say anything about the Jewish doctors. So if this is true, that the Christians have laid a heavy hand on the old, and the Talmud was, good part of the Talmud was burnt. We know about, we say in the Kinnis on Yom Kippur, on Tisha B'Av. If it's true that in the original text was Toiv, that ends all the kashas. Then you have to have all these Torahs of Toiv Sheba'akam Ligehenim, yeah?
I think I remember also with the blood letters, the Gemara says don't go to a Goyish
a blood letter.
A blood letter? Because he can
write
it.
Akum.
So it
only refers to an Akum. So that's a fascinating insight, another example of something which was erased. Now, let me give you another example of ritual, Jewish ritual, which seemingly comes from the Christians. We have a minug to go open the door after, right before we eat the Afikomen, Shifai Chamoschel HaGoyim. When we recite Shrei Chamoscha, it's a kina. It's really like you're saying kina, it's the night of Pesach. And we open the door. Why do we do that? So there's a lot of very beautiful ideas and very deep concepts of why we go open up the door, we go outside to search for Eliyahu, the night of Pesach. But on a very simple level, many of the historians tell us, because of the blood libels, the night of Pesach for the Jews was typically not necessarily a Lel Shimurim, was a night of very great sakana, because they accused the Jews of killing non-Jewish children in order to use their blood for matzos. And before we eat the afikomen, we take out the matzah, the mitzvah halayil, the afikomen, we make sure, we go open up the door to look to make sure there are no Christians, there are no goyim in hiding, planting dead bodies of non-Jewish children. So opening up the door was an inspection that was invented by the Rabbanon to protect yourself. Don't let the goyim do things, plant dead bodies, and then make a bilbul upon Klal Yisrael. So then it was all incorporated within this framework of Eliyahu HaNavi, Shrei Chamoscha. But why did it really start? This minhag, opening up the door, looking outside, what's going on outside, make sure no one is lurking in the background, planting blood of non-Jewish children, so on and so forth. It all came from the sakana of the Christians. So what we presented over here is basically to review Levam al Shinim, the Hasim Menu Yogan Vanacha, Brich Shmei, Oleinu, Rosh Hashanah, we've the Tefillah of Yeshu, the Malach, Toiv Sheberoifim, opening the Delos and the Lel of Pesach. And let me just conclude with a couple of a short Ramazan. He presents over here, firstly, he says in the Gemara, he goes through the whole Gemara, in the Gemara with the word Goy, many times has been exchanged with the word Kusi or Akum. That's one of their famous things. And that is a fascinating thing, because that means that they never really succeeded in changing the bracha Shaloi Osani Goy. There are other nuschos that have Shaloi Osani Yisrael. There are other nuschos. What? Shaloi Osani Akum. That could be from the censors.
Sure.
But we have survived. They viewed the word goy as a derogatory term. And they changed the word goy in the Gemara to a kusi or to an oyved koychav mazalos. Because the Christians didn't worship the koychav mazalos. They worshiped Yashka. So they did not have any problem with Akum, but they did have a problem with the word goy. And therefore they changed the word goy to a kusi and Akum. And it's a miracle how now we still have the shloya sani goy, and we don't have Shloyosani Kusi, we don't have Shloyosani Oyved Kachav Mazalos. They always change the word Meshumut to the word Amumar. That was their favorite word. They're on the lookout, the Meshumut. They change with Koimer, a priest, that's a term that's miyuchet for a servant of Yeshu, for Meshores La'avod Zara. And they change the word Min, which we say refers to Mitalmide Yeshu Notri, to the word Sedoki or the word Api Koires. So let me just give you some other Ramazim. Yesha, I told you, represents Yimach Shemo V'Zichro. We discussed yesterday Nittel. Some word learned that the word Nittel is Rosh Tevos, not in order, of course. Noilad, Yeshu, Tes, Liteves. We don't know Deichik, the Lama, Liteves. That Yeshu, there's a tradition that the reason why we fast on the ninth day of Teves is because that was the birthday of Yeshu. It's very weak, if that's true. But that Baruch, okay, but I'll leave with that. And then the Varik we discussed, Min, we said is either Mitalmide Yeshu Notu, or some of the Min means Ma'amine Yeshu, those that believe in Yeshu Hanotri. Okay, that pretty much concludes it for Yeshu Hanotri. Tomorrow, Mi'at Hashem, will go back to the Aleph base, up to the letter Dalid. Okay, have a nice day.